Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
I'm excited to be up here. I'm excited to be sharing the gospel, but I'm also excited because most of my Christmas shopping is done. You know what I'm saying? Any of you guys finish Christmas shopping? Anyone finish? Okay, a few of you guys. I strive to be like you. Anyone didn't even start Christmas shopping yet? Raise a hand. We'll pray for you guys. So I'm excited. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Gennaro. I run the high school here at our VBF church at East Campus, this campus. And I've been doing that for a while now. And I always want to start off by saying this because this is something that you should know about me. Any chance I have in sharing the gospel, what I love to do is I love to share a window into my life. And what I mean by that, I've said this before, is I love being able to talk about my struggles. I love being able to talk about what God is bringing me through or what God hasn't showed up in my life yet. And I do that because I believe that it brings God glory. Amen? Amen. And so tonight, I'm going to be honest with you. Tonight, we're going to be real, and I hope that that's okay. But I believe with my whole heart that tonight, God has a specific message for you. And why I say that is because in studying for this, I had this whole plan, and I had these videos that I was going to show. And to me, I thought it was great. Tuesday morning at 2 a.m., I wake up in this panic, like I forgot to turn the water hose off or something. It was weird. And so I woke up and I just could not go back to bed. And so what did I do? I ended up just, well, I played some video games first. I got to be honest. I played the Switch, Mario Kart for Christmas. But then I dived into my word and I started to see, okay, God, if I'm awake for something, what do you want me to talk about? Like, what's going on? And if you know anything about me, I'm probably one of the heaviest sleepers that I know. Just ask my wife. You can rob my house and I wouldn't wake up. Please don't rob my house. But I'm just telling you, this is how it is. This is how I am. And what ended up happening was I started to dive into scripture and I started to kind of ask God the direction of tonight and where I'm gonna go. And what's crazy is, and let me know if you've ever experienced this, I'm sure you have, but when you open God's word and it comes to life and it hits you in areas that you didn't even know you were struggling with. And what I came, this realization that happened, this is me being honest, I just had a conversation with my wife. A struggle that I'm going through right now is with my faith. Not with the fact that God isn't real. That's not what I'm struggling with, but I'm struggling with the fact that I am settling in my life. I've caught myself just doing things like a checkbook, right? Coming to church, doing my devotions, right? Joining a Bible study, but I've been realizing I've been doing things that are in my comfort zone. And what's crazy about this is as I was reading this chapter in Matthew that we're going to go over in a sec, God had revealed to me some of the things that we miss out when we're just so caught up in ourselves and when we decide that what we're going to do is what we want to do. And my wife gave me a word, and it was pretty harsh, but I'm going to give this word to you guys as well. But she said she was going to start praying that God would make me uncomfortable in my safe places. And what I loved about that is it made me realize when it comes to our faith, which is something that's so important, what we do with our faith, if we are settling, there's no growth. Like, I hate to break it to you, right? Like, this is a sermon that I'm preaching to myself, but if you're not doing anything, if you're not adding on to your faith like scripture tells us to do, and all we do is just go through the motions, not only will we feel empty, but we won't grow, and then we won't sow. And that defeats the purpose of being a believer. And so I dived into the word, and it was in Matthew. One of the scriptures that we're going towards is in Matthew, and we're putting this famous scripture into perspective, and I'm excited to jump into this. But we're really going to change the way we are. We're going to change the way we pursue Jesus, and we're going to work on our faith. Amen? So before I even dive into it, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. Let's pray this. God, we thank you so much for bringing every single person into this room. God, we believe with our heart that you are in this place. We believe in our heart that you are going to speak to us. I rebuke any emotions that aren't coming from you, any feelings of unworthiness, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we pray for your presence, Lord, and we thank you for meeting us where we're at. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. The title for today's message is Unshakable Faith. And the story, again, Matthew 14, this is talks about the only other person in history besides Jesus that walks on water. Crazy. And this is what it says. Matthew 14, 22 to 24. This is after Jesus feeds the 5,000. And it says this. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Obviously it was 2 o'clock in the morning, there's nothing else for me to do. So I started to really dive into this. I wanted to know, what is the Sea of Galilee, right? How big is this boat? What's happening? And I found out these archaeological facts of this, and this is gonna paint this better picture for us, right? This is gonna show us how big Peter's faith really is. But the first fact is this, that the Sea of Galilee was a significant source of commercial fishing. Everyone who is a fisherman, everyone who, that is their job, that's what they do, that's how they make ends meet, they know that the Sea of Galilee is the place to be at, right? Including Peter, who was a professional fisherman. And it says this, the second fact, is due to its low-lying position in the Rift Valley, surrounded by hills, the Sea of Galilee was prone to sudden violent storms. It says this, it says Dr. Alright Jr. says that most researchers who have given time and energy into studying the Sea of Galilee and the nature of the storms that are recorded in the Bible agree that a storm on this sea can be characterized as sudden, unpredictable, violent, and deadly. The sea is located at the northern end of the Great Rift Valley, surrounded by mountains, which provided an optimum setup for the perfect storm. So without warning, right, it doesn't matter how well you can see where the wind's coming from, without warning, there would be this storm, and it would be deadly. And then the third and final fact, and this one blew my mind, but it's your average Galilean fishing boat was about 26.5 feet long by 7.5 feet wide. For those of you guys who have been in the waves or who have a boat, you know the waves can do some damage, right? There's like a funny video on YouTube of this guy like going super fast, and him and everyone on the boat, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about, they just get smashed. Like the waves, that's powerful. And we're talking about this sea that's deadly. So now that we know this information, let's continue reading. It says this, Matthew 14, 25 and 29. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. This is Jesus walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, and he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. This is insane to think about. But let me paint this picture for you real quick. We have Peter, who is a known fisherman, someone who knows the dangers of the sea. He's not a professional swimmer. And he has enough faith to step out of this boat, even though it is physically impossible for Peter to make his way towards the Messiah. It makes zero sense. And what we get from this is when all odds are against you, this is a question to ask yourself. Will you step out of the boat? Think about this for a second. Right, when finances are low, are you willing to give? Because unless your faith is like Peter and you step out of the boat, your faith will have this hindrance. And what I love about this, I have a leader in the high school ministry. His name is Anthony Castro. Does anyone know Anthony Castro? Okay, yeah. Great guy. He's been involved in a lot of different areas in the church, but I stole him. So he's in the high school with me now. And he was telling me this encouraging story of a situation similar to Peter's, stepping out of the boat, right, when it doesn't make sense. He is the only provider for his family. And he went through one of the scariest things that a man can think of, and that's not being able to provide for your family. He had a nice paying job. He didn't get fired, but he had a good paying job, and he said that his job was jeopardizing his values and his morals. And so what he ended up doing was he prayed about it, and God told him that he had to leave. Now this is scary because he has three kids and he has his wife, and he's the only one that's working. And what he did was he prayed. He had no backup plan. There wasn't another interview in play. God just told him, step out of the boat, and he said, I'm gonna do it because God is telling me to do it. Long story short, he steps out of the boat and he got a job that he's always wanted with the county, and now he's able to provide for his family even more so. And this is not just a blessing, but now his faith is so much stronger because he took that leap of faith. Church, the question for you is, are you willing to step out of the boat when you are called? My first point is this, is unshakable faith is doing what God is calling you to do even when it doesn't make sense. And if we're honest, most of the time, it doesn't make sense. But God is faithful in his promises. Let's continue reading. Matthew 14, 30 to 31 says this, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? What we see here, obviously, Peter failed. And we see this throughout scripture, right? Failure is inevitable. But I want to paint this picture of how he failed. Because Peter is doing something that's pretty impressive, right? He's walking on water and he's going towards the Messiah. He's stepping out in faith. He's doing something that's supernatural. But all it took was for him to switch his focus from Jesus to the storm. And the moment he looked at the storm, that's when his mind kind of went haywire, right? That's when the what ifs kick in. Have you been there? That's when we start to think that we're not good enough, or God doesn't want to use us, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. And Peter started getting overwhelmed when the solution is simple. He can just fix his eyes back on Jesus, but that doesn't happen. He's in the storm and he begins to sink. And what I love about this is that when we start to overthink, this is a lesson for everyone. But when we start to overthink and we allow our minds to get carried away by the problems that we're going through, failure will always be the solution for it. Failure will always be there if all we do is focus on the problem. Does that make sense? And so what's crazy is there was a time where I was at CSUB. And it was great because I was running the high school out there. It was when we used to have the church out at the CSUB campus. And I had this guy, his name was Justin Krause. And in the middle of of a message that I was preaching on. I was talking about forgiveness. And I was talking about how we should step out of our comfort zones and go and forgive people and just watch and see what God does in your life. And in the middle of preaching this sermon, Justin knows that and some of you guys know this, but I've always had this not that great of a relationship with my dad. And it was because I always told myself that I was too busy. And I'd be caught up in my own selfish desires and what I needed to do to uplift myself and to do good for myself. And I would forget about the importance of family. And so Justin Krause actually told me at the end of this message, he said, "Dude, you got to practice what you preach." And it hit me. And it was like, yeah, like, sure. And so I started kind of doing my own thing. But then he told me again. And he said, "Seriously, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray that God puts it on your heart to go and talk to your dad." And in the middle of that, it was crazy. He prayed for me, and I had this peace, which is crazy. Me and my family, we're not very sentimental, right? Like, to have that conversation with my dad was weird, to tell him, like, "Hey, like, I love you, forgive me." You know, like, it's just, like, we just don't do that. But in the middle of this prayer, I had this peace and I had this confidence. And so what I ended up doing is I drove when all of our friends were going out to lunch. I decided to go and have lunch with my dad. And on the drive over there, you know, my heart is racing and I pull up to the house and I'm going, "God, you like, what if he doesn't receive what I'm saying?" Right? Like, what if I tell him that I love him and he says, "Okay." Like, these are the thoughts that are going through my head. I was literally this close to allow my situation, this storm, the what ifs, that I'm not good enough, to get in the way of what was about to happen between me and my dad. But I knocked on the door, he opened it, and I went inside, and he asked, "Hey, do you want some food?" I said, "Yes." He made some tortillas with some huevos con chorizo, come on. Really good, yeah. And I'm hungry now. And I go in and we're sitting down in the middle of it. I knew I just had to say it. And I start going and I get three words out. I said, "Dad, I love you." And he starts crying. And I just apologized for the way that I've been, for not being there as much as I wanted to. And he apologized. And he told, like, God just restored our relationship in that moment. And let me tell you this. This would have been missed if I would have allowed my storm to cloud my perspective. And this is my second point, and this is the second thing that we learn, because Hebrews 12 tells us something, that you and I are called to what? Fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? So that you and I and anyone listening will not grow weary. So that we do not allow the problems and the situations and the unpleasant circumstances get in the way between what God is wanting you and me to do. And so the second point is, unshakable faith is not letting your storms cloud your perspective. And let's finish this. Matthew 14, 32 and 33 says this. "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Their response was worship. Not just singing, right? That's not what worship is fully. But being in a place where we are giving God praise and glory, whether we have been through the situation already, or whether we're in the middle of the situation, or whether we haven't even started, whatever that pain is, we worship God. My last and final point is this: unshakable faith is not allowing your situation to determine your worship. Because it's when we worship that it takes our focus off whatever the problem is, and it puts it on the power and the greatness of our Father and our Savior. And that is something worth giving God praise for. I want to leave you guys with this. Let the volume of your worship be louder than the volume of your problems. When I come up here, I'm not sharing my opinions, because I know that when you leave this place and you deal with serious situations, probably stuff that I still haven't reached yet, and you're dealing, whether you're a single mother in here and you're struggling, whether you're a father in here and you're struggling, whether there is marriage problems, whether there is family, whatever your situation may be, I know that my opinions will do nothing for you. There's no weight in them. But what I do know is that God's word will carry you every step of the way. And so when I preach, I'm not preaching on words, on my own opinions, but I'm preaching on God's words and what he says and the fact that he's going to carry you wherever you go. Faith is a prerequisite in order to follow Jesus. This is what I'm leaving you guys with. These are examples in scripture, not all of them, but a few. Examples in scripture that talks about people who used faith and did incredible things because of it. The first one is, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place to receive an inheritance, and he didn't even know where to go, but he still left. By faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even though she was past the age to conceive. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they've been encircled for 7 days. By faith, the Israelites crossed the Red Sea as if they'd crossed dry land. By faith, Anthony Castro quit his job and got to see God move in a way that was so crazy. By faith, I was able to forgive and be forgiven by my dad and show him love. And through that, I got to experience restoration between me and him. By faith, you guys today can do something that you will be able to see God move in just crazy ways. But here's what I'm going to do, and here's what I want to say. We're going to have the prayer team come up here in a sec. But if you're listening to this message and you're going, Gennaro, that sounds great, but that's not for me, let me just tell you this. You have the opportunity tonight to step off of that boat. You have the opportunity to do what Peter did and step out in faith and watch to see what God wants to do in your life. Because I'm telling you, I'm nowhere near perfect. There are struggles that I still have right now. And to be honest, I almost missed out on an opportunity to even be up here because I tell myself that I'm not good enough. I just had a conversation with two people on the way up here saying that I'm not good enough. But the reality and the truth is that God can use anyone and everyone, and you are not going to miss out. So tonight, you can make that opportunity. If you've never given your life to Christ and you want to, or maybe you're in here and you're going, dude, I don't remember the last time I really prayed or really took my walk with God seriously. Tonight, you can make that rededication. We'll be up here to pray for you. But just know, leave this place knowing that we can walk in confidence with the faith that we have because we are saved by grace through faith. And this is for everyone. This message is for you. This message is for your friends, for your family, for people that you don't even know. Like, walk in this boldness. I'm gonna pray. And then I really do encourage you guys, if you have any questions, I'll be here in the front. If you just wanna say hi, that would be great too. If you want to know my recipe on huevos con chorizo, I'll let you guys know. But I want to pray, and then you guys are good to go. Let's pray this. God, we thank you so much for this place. God, we thank you so much for the power of your word. God, you are so gracious enough to reveal yourself to us at any given moment. Father, your word says in John, that it is your joy that we experience your joy. that's an amazing and beautiful thing. So I pray that there's not a single person in this place that leaves without first talking with you. God, grab their hearts. I plant the seeds and you do the rest. And we trust you in that. We thank you, we love you, and we thank you for another day in Jesus' name and God. Everyone said amen and amen. All right, guys, thank you guys so much, and God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our